Welcome to the second episode of the Hot Air Outtake, which we actually thought of a name for.
Yes.
So great. We did that.
Yeah, last time we recorded this, no idea what the name was going to be.
Yeah, I just had to like come up with something after the fact.
Yeah, I'm happy with it, though.
Yeah.
And YouTube this past week seems to have been incessantly recommending that video to me. Even though I watched it when it came out, YouTube remembers that I watched it. I was in it. Yeah. And every single time I watch a video, the number one recommended is that. I'm like, at least the algorithm's doing something, you know, but...
Yeah, no, like...
How do I tell it?
I've noticed, like, especially over, like, the past week, I've been increasingly recommended my own videos.
Every time... I keep getting YouTube notifications to watch my own videos. It's very, very funny.
Yeah.
Okay, I just take it to mean that the algorithm is doing something, you know?
Hopefully.
At least it's a positive. Fingers crossed.
It has identified us as the kind of people that would enjoy that content correctly.
Yeah.
And it's right, we would enjoy that content so
Indeed.
Much that we'd make it.
That we're making it.
Okay. Anyway, we're going to start this off with Show and Tell, a segment where... me and Joe get to talk about our whatever our current week's hyperfixation is.
Indeed.
And so, I am starting it off with early to mid-50s Formula One.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking into, like, what was the sort of the last thing that Bugatti ever really did? And it turns out,
yeah.
In 1956, they did try and make an F1 car, and it's really cool. It's a car in the top right.
Ah.
It's got... a transversely mounted straight eight.
Oh, what? Wait. Transversely mounted straight eight
in the middle.
In what? None of that makes any logical sense.
It's one of the. it's one of about two engines Bugatti made that is actually over square.
Oh my god.
And yeah, no, it's fucking incredible. That's amazing.
That is ridiculous.
It raced one time in the 1956 French Grand Prix and retired after 13 laps because the transmission broke.
I'm not surprised if you're trying to make a transmission that can do that, basically.
Yeah. Sort of like I imagine bend physics.
Yes,
sort
pretty
of like
much.
To somehow like squeeze the power between like from the engine to the wheels. yeah, but that sort of got me down a rabbit hole, and there's like a bunch of really cool and quirky Formula One cars from this time. So car in the middle has a has a Ferrari badge on it. It's actually a Lancia.
Huh. Right. Okay.
And you can see the Lancia badge on the front. That is because Lancia did have their own factory race team. They did mm-hmm. have their own racing department, hence this car. This is the Lancia D50, which had a Vittorio Giano designed V8. Very cool.
Okay.
Giano, of course, would later go on to be like one of Ferrari's great engineers, and that is because Lancia, despite having a very successful race car on their hands, lost all interest in racing.
Of course.
And
of course.
Sold both the team and their racing department to Ferrari. Hence, Ferrari, about like for a season, unable to change these cars enough, just raced Lancias under the Ferrari team. Which is.
Fair enough.
Yeah. No. Which I just thought that's very funny, honestly, to mm-hmm. me. Top left, that is an Oscar. Oscars are actually really cool.
I am not going to pretend I've heard of that before.
OSCA, so it's like Oscar.
Oh,
it's like,
okay.
It's like it's one of those Italian companies where they just like abbreviated it.
Oh, yeah.
Oscar later on went on to become what I can only describe as an Italian Porsche. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
They had a car called the MT4 1500, which occasionally got full coach-built Berlinetta bodies, and they're absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, wow.
But this F1 car you see before you had a 4.5-litre V12 in it designed by the Maserati brothers.
Oh, okay. I bet that sounds absolutely incredible then.
Yeah. Awesome, awesome thing right there. Bottom right is the Gordini T-32. Yes, back when Gordini was its own
Gordini.
Thing.
Gordini, yeah.
Yeah. back when Gordini still really meant something.
Back before it was a blue paint with a couple of stripes.
Exactly.
I love modern Gordinis, but yeah.
But yeah, yeah. It's, that car you see before you also has a 2.5-litre straight eight.
But I assume this one is not transverse as well.
No. As indicated by the very typical...
The very long snoot, yeah.
Yeah, no.
I love straight eights. They're such a cool engine layout.
But... Yeah, no, they're so, like... But because they were dropped in favor of V8s, whenever anything has a straight eight, it just immediately conjures this image of, you know, like, as you can see in the picture, the goggles.
Massive.
The wind in your head. It's a sort of the very romantic.
Exactly.
It's a very romantic engine layout.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's one of the ones that has never really come back. I mean, even V16s, there'd be modern concepts with V16s, but straight eights just kind of disappeared completely, which I guess makes sense, but...
Yeah, because they're not... good.
They're not good. Yeah.
Like, they don't make any kind of engineering sense. They take up a shitload of space. The crank has to be so long.
Yeah.
And it's not perfectly balanced like a straight six. So that crank has, like, weird torsional vibration going on. It's just, it's not a good idea.
No.
But because of that, because it's not a good idea, it conjures this, like the romantic image.
Of,
you know, just because something isn't good,
just because it isn't good doesn't mean it's not good, you know?
Yeah, and, like, it's also sort of the fact that because it isn't good, because it's not perfect,
yes,
that's why it has that sort of thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, in the bottom left, is the legendary BRM V16.
Oh, yeah,
you know, if you've watched a single Vizio Racer video, you know about this engine.
I do love Vizio Racer. I don't watch
throwing any criticism, but
any excuse he gets to put it in.
It's from the 50s, a 1.5-liter V16 supercharged beyond its life.
It's just, I was gonna make the joke that, like, all of the cylinders are shot glasses, but I honestly think that's probably bigger than the actual cylinders.
Yeah, hang on, okay. So your average shot glass is about 30 or like 3 cubic centimeters, I want to say. Hang on. No, I'll do the maths and put it up on screen. I'm not doing the maths now. Fuck you. Yes, no. And supercharged within an inch of its life. You know, I think they were getting like over 600 horsepower from it at some point.
This is
That's
the kind of
absurd.
Engine that should only exist in automation, and yet it's real. It's mental. I love it.
I love BRM. BRM was so
cool.
I
love them too. I have recently been very tempted to buy the only BRM I could ever afford, being a Rover.
Yeah, the Rover. The Rover 200 BRM, still a cool thing.
And it is... Yeah. I've forgotten the word. It is... I will not argue with the fact it is the coolest Rover, MG Rover, like, combination of colours and spec ever. I mean, it's green, orange grille, bright red interior. That is the watermelon car. I love it. Oh, God, I love Rover.
God, no. But yes, that's sort of been my recent fixation.
I wish I knew so much more about old F1. Like, I and old race cars in general, really. It's just not something I know all that much about, but you are going to encourage me to dive into the rabbit hole the rest of this weekend.
Later on in sort of the 60s. The 60s is also a really cool era for Formula One.
Yeah.
Because you have the first Honda Formula One cars back when, you know, all they were known for was making bikes.
Basically, yeah.
And they were making these tiny, tiny little V12s that just fucking screamed. Maserati was still in the game making a V12. Matra came out of nowhere with one of the best fucking V12s that's ever been in Formula One.
An incredible time period for racing and for every brand wanting to do something, you know, and even so many brands that you cannot imagine, you know, even imagine now, but especially back in those days, being so into the racing, but they're putting all of this money into these ridiculous engines. Oh man.
This is back when, like, think cars were still fun.
Yeah. Where it was an achievement to own a car, you know, it wasn't.
Anyway, moving on.
Moving on.
I see you've prepared a little game for me.
I have. I've been preparing a game. I was halfway through making this slide. I thought, oh, we can make a game of this. This has been, I've been in the rabbit hole of weird vehicles sold in South America, specifically ones that are bizarre rebadges of other cars.
Yes.
So we're going to play the this originally based on game.
Let's just jump straight in.
Well, so, the first one, so it's the
Chevrolet Caravan Diplomata.
This was the first one I saw that sent me down this rabbit hole, because I saw a picture of it on Instagram and I looked at that and thought, that is just the best looking vehicle I think I've ever seen. I just love it. There is nothing about that thing that I don't love. It looks so good. But what do you reckon this is originally based on? Play this at home, by the way.
Right. Given it's a Chevrolet, it is really funny, really funny, that the first thing I thought looking at it was Ford.
Necessarily all from, like, it's what they're originally based on, so it might be a different brand, it might not, who knows, you know?
Okay, right. Having said that, there is something sort of voxel-y and opal-y about it.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. No, there's definitely something, like, opally about the headlights, and like that kink over the rear wheels is
it's such a good design. I love it. It's such a good looking car.
I don't think I'm gonna get close.
I'll reveal now that the original vehicle this is based on is the Opel Rekord.
Yeah, okay. I'll take Opel. I'll take that. I'll say
yeah,
Vauxhall-y,
you definitely
opal-y.
Did say Opel.
Okay,
we'll move on to the second one, the Volkswagen Apollo.
Is this
definitely
the one?
Looks.
Yeah. Is. Yeah. That's the two door saloon. Is not
no.
suiting it. Now, there is one example I do know of VW doing something ridiculous in South America. Is it the one that's a rebadged Hillman Avenger?
It is not. But I wish it was, because that is even more interesting. That's one I have not heard of, and I will now be looking at. But it actually is based on the Ford Orion.
No, I did know that one as well. I did know that one. I didn't. But no, my mind jumped to the Hillman Avenger one first, because that's funnier.
Fair enough.
Because, again, just picture that. Can we just talk about that for a minute? A VW... That is a Hillman. That is incredible.
When I was searching up, like, the images for this slide, that never even crossed my mind, because I have not seen whatever that is, but I will now be looking at it afterwards. What? I mean, I knew... Was it the Hillman Avenger that had, like, a life in, like, Iran as well or something?
Yes, I think it is.
I seem to remember...
Hello, this is Editing Bin Man. It was actually the Roots Arrow, not the Hillman Avenger, for all you people already typing in the comments.
But I did not know it was rebadged as a VW. I will have a look into that afterwards. Let's move on to this next one. Now, this next one I do not think you are going to get unless you are really good at recognising obscure bodyline parts.
Yeah, no, it is... It is ringing a bell, and I'm going to be really annoyed if I get it wrong. Is it a Cadet?
It is not. I will show you. The hint is that line at the top of the beginning of the door window, where it kinks up like that. Do you recognise that from anything?
Where it kinks up? Oh. Is it something Japanese?
Do you want to...
Oh, no.
Should I reveal?
Yeah, no, you reveal.
The fucking... Renault 12. I
shit
you not. Oh
my
god. This is the second generation, but it's still based on the first one, which was a Renault 12.
What the hell? Oh my god.
I would love to have sat in that meeting. Did Ford just call up any manufacturer who would answer and be like, do you want to build a car
because a lot of the reasons that these cars exist is a lot of the reason these cars exist is because a lot of the South American dictatorships had really, really, really high import taxes to try and encourage local business. So, like, it can't have been any, because I know that Renault did actually own a factory in Argentina. So the only reason I can think is, like, Ford didn't have a factory in Argentina.
Yeah.
So, like, fuck, we need to sell a car in Argentina. Who has a factory in Argentina? Renault?
Sure.
What the fuck?
I also just love that, like, if you look really close, you can see it's got the three lug wheels. Like, the lineage is still
there.
What a bizarre thing. We'll move on to this one, the Ford Delray.
That name rings a bell. That picture rings a bell.
He looks so fucked up. He just looks.
He does. You know that picture where it's like the guy saying, going in to get a haircut, wish me luck, and then the after.
Sat in the car, that is what this looks like. It looks like. It looks AI generated. It just doesn't.
No, it does. Maybe it's the angle of the picture, but that rear axle does not look like it's sitting in that rear well,
and
wheel well properly.
None of the proportions look right, or the angles match. It's just incredibly terrible.
Oh my god.
And I'll reveal to you now that this was a trick, because that is also based on the Renault 12.
Oh no!
Reoccurring characters this early. And then you see the line at the front, you're like, oh yeah, it is.
Yeah, no, it's got the kink, yeah.
Oh, it's so terrible.
It's got a little kink. Oh my god.
They milked that licensing agreement.
It's incredible how they managed to like make it look almost exactly like a then current gen 4 Cortina.
Yeah.
But also absolutely nothing like a then current gen 4 Cortina.
And also, all of the proportions look wrong in some way. I mean, the wheelbase just looks about a meter too short. And the track width... Oh, God, it's terrible. Oh, it gives me the shakes.
Okay.
We'll move on to the fifth one. This one's, I think, possibly a little easier. The Ford Versailles. Oh, yeah, that's Versailles. I've never seen it written down. God, I'm stupid.
Well, there you go.
You learn something new.
We're learning.
But yeah, this one is a bit... I would say possibly a bit easier, but...
Yeah, no, okay. There is still something distinctly Ford about it. Like, the way the rear window is designed. That sort of whole, like, canopy at the rear.
Yeah.
That C-pillar is really, really Ford Falcon. Really Ford Falcon.
It's bizarre as well, because the original car that this was based on, as far as I'm aware from the research I did... never actually had a two-door saloon body. So they made...
So that's a South American exclusive.
But also a Ford exclusive from the car that it originally was. It seems like a lot of effort for a very niche body style, but I guess they must like them over there.
Yeah, because, I mean, like the Volkswagen Apollo up
there. Yeah, true.
The Ford Delray.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've all got them, yeah.
Well, this was originally based on the VW Santana.
Oh,
and now I say that, I bet you see it in like the rear boot line.
No,
I love the Santana.
Yeah,
I'm probably more acquainted with that than I should be. This final one, I think.
No, I do know
you
that
know
one.
It.
That's...
You can tell.
It's why I've been saying Vauxhall this whole time instead of Volkswagen, because that is a Vauxhall Corsa.
Ah. Is that your final answer?
Oh, shut up.
Is that your final answer?
No, Astra.
Is that also your final answer?
Oh, fuck. No, it's definitely... Oh, come on. Cadet, it's one of them. It's a Vauxhall Opel, whatever the fuck it is.
It's an Escort. I'm sorry.
What the fuck? Huh?
Yeah, it's...
Oh, God.
And then the sideline is... Yeah. It's really bizarre. And the front looks like a
polar. Okay, no, I know why. That gen of Escort I've only ever seen, ironically enough, as a two-door salute.
Yeah, true. Actually, that does make sense. But yeah, that was a fun game. Let us know in the comments how many points you got.
You beat me.
I'm craving engagement here, you know? It's what we need.
You beat me because I charitably got 1 point.
I mean, I did pick some very obscure ones, and I didn't get... You know, I wouldn't have got them without knowing previously. But yeah, that was show and tell. I hope you enjoyed. Now, should we move on to some news?
Yes, let's move on to the news. So... First item on the agenda. Lancey is totally back, guys. For real this time.
We promise. We pinky promise that Lancey is back this time.
Yeah, they're
not
so
lying.
Back.
Believe us.
Okay, so apparently the deets on this, they have a 10-year strategic plan in place.
Interesting.
The new Ypsilon hybrid is set to debut next year.
Right, I'm sure it will, yeah.
2026, they are set to have a new electric flagship, which, given leaks, will either be called the Gamma or the Aurelia. We don't really...
Of course.
Yeah. I would prefer it be called the Gamma, because if it's called the Aurelia, and it's like an SUV or something, which, like, knowing the current car industry, it probably will be. Yeah.
Well, look on the bright side. If it is called the Aurelia, we have a new Yelling at Cloud segment already done.
True. You know, that's so generous of Lancia to take us into account and feed our future content.
Always thinking about us.
Yes. But
I will believe it when I see it.
Yeah, and then 2027 or something like that, there's going to be a new Delta.
Okay.
Then... They've already got really solid, or like they're saying really solid plans in place for a dealership network in France. I think they said they're going to open something like 20 dealerships and then 50 dealerships in other countries like the Netherlands, Germany,
mm-hmm.
various European countries, I presume.
I wonder if they'll come back over here.
They haven't had anything about that. That it's mostly been mainland Europe so far.
Yeah, I know that they... I mean, they pulled out quite a long time before they stopped making anything. I mean, to be honest, but before they stopped selling everything worth selling over here, they did pull out of the UK. So I'm not sure whether they'll feel like coming back, but I don't know.
I know the name Lancia still has like a cachet to it.
I guess, yeah. But yeah, that's true, because nostalgia has smoothed the wounds that led to them leaving in the first place, I think.
Exactly, yeah. Top Gear has gone a long way.
Yes.
To doing that.
Lancia now, you think of a Stratos and a Delta Integrale, not a rotten pile of metal.
Yeah, not a beater that's...
Yeah, that's crumbling into the ground before its first birthday.
Yeah. They have debuted a new... badge, which I thought I would include. That's how serious they are about this. They're doing a total brand overhaul. And I do actually prefer this badge over the one they had before.
I quite like it, actually. I mean, it's not much different, but it does seem more modern without too generic.
And also, they brought back in the vertical line on the left-hand side, which had gone from the previous one. So they are actually being more historically accurate.
Ah, good for them. Good for them.
Yeah, no, it would be nice.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, it would be nice, A, if it happens, B, if it happens well.
And C, if it happens in the UK. Because if you heard the news, it wasn't just a little thing that I read recently, but I believe Genesis over here are closing down all of their independent dealers and just combining
with Hyundai.
With regular Hyundai dealers, which seems to show how well their attempts at going up market in the UK are working. As a nation, I think we're quite set in our ways about which class a vehicle is.
You buy German, you buy a BMW, yeah, you buy an Audi, you buy a Mercedes.
Exactly, and I think they are learning the hard way that we're a nation of thickos and we value a brand much more than what you actually get.
Yes. In other news, Saab is back!
Yes! Yes!
Saab's back for real this time, guys! We're so back!
I'm gonna stand up every day out of bed and salute the big Saab logo that I plastered on my wall. Yeah. Because we are back.
Yes, so the news here is that we talked about it a little bit last episode. Stenhager Invest, which is the company that was interested in buying the factory. They had previously bought 80% of the factory. They have now upped that to 100%. They own the entire factory now. And there's a mobility show that's going to happen in Gothenburg on the 1st of December. Mm-hmm. And this is apparently going to take center stage.
Awesome. I am very excited. I'm very, very excited. I'm not going to pretend. Yeah. Oh, this is brilliant. Good news.
Go and watch the previous episode if you want to learn more about the car itself. Long story short, Saab is Saabing again. Fantastic. Please let this happen.
It's Saabing time.
Yes. And then he Saabed all over the audience.
I was avoiding saying that. Yes, it is good news. I mean, there were some comments on the actual previous video that seemed quite pessimistic about whether it would actually happen, but it is going forward, and even I didn't particularly have much faith about immediate progress, but credit to them, it does seem to actually be moving and happening, which I'm very, very happy for.
Yes. No. If it does happen, very cool.
Yes.
Right.
They seem committed, at least.
Indeed. Moving on. Is the MPV coming back?
Is it? The evidence seems to suggest that it is, which is, I'm happy.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, if it is coming back, thank fucking God it's about goddamn time.
I would literally stand at the altar of MPVs before an SUV any day of the week. I mean,
yes,
and this might be a hot take. I think that Volvo thing looks bloody brilliant. It looks great. It's just such a comical vehicle. It almost looks like the artist's impression of what, like, the most over-the-top MPV could look like. And I do kind of love it.
Yeah. So the news here is that not only have Volvo debuted a new electric MPV, minivan, whatever you want to call it, called the EM90, which does also imply that, like, if, because obviously we have S for the saloons, we have XC for the SUVs, we have a new, brand new Volvo prefix just dropped, EM.
Babe, wake up. New Volvo prefix just dropped. What do you think that stands for? Enhanced mobility.
Yeah, like, and E is, like, obviously they're invoking electric with that.
Oh yeah, that as well, yeah.
But that implies that there may be a range of smaller MPVs. We may get an EM70.
Yeah, because we got the XC90 first, and then there was the XC60 and whatever other crap they made after that. But yeah, they seem to like to go for the big one to kind of test the waters, and then hopefully we get some smaller ones, I guess, because every MPV sold is an SUV that isn't, so.
And that's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
the reason why this is sort of a trend that, you know, we're positing is the MPV back is because, obviously, for a very long time, the MPV has still been popular in Japan. You have, what's it called, the Toyota Alphard. I wanted to call it the Alpharad, but no, that's the guy that plays Pokemon. That the Alphard has apparently now been rebadged as a Lexus and being sold in Europe.
Yeah, I did read that. I mean, because they've always sold, at least over here in the UK, they've always been quite popular as imports. I mean, I see them almost on a daily basis, you know, 10-year-old ones. But my kind of hot take on this is I don't think that means that the Lexus will sell at all well, because the kind of people who buying the imported ones buy them for the benefits of them being imports, I would say, that you can get them pretty cheap, they're really well spec'd, and they have they're pretty subtly styled, they're not that out there, and the Lexus is none of that. It's going to be very expensive, it's got a hideous Lexus grill on the front. I just don't think people over here are going to buy it, really.
Yeah, I can see it, selling as like luxurious hotel transit.
Yeah, that is true, actually.
Like that sort of thing. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, in a couple of months you start seeing a couple running about London.
Oh, yeah, or airport transport. You
airport,
know,
yeah, especially airport stuff transit. Like that. I can see, yeah. Like it being quite popular there.
But I'm not sure actual family. Well, I guess it's. But MPVs always strike me as being family vehicles, but this is not really being targeted as a family vehicle, unless it's like a really upper class family. And I think they're pretty set in their ways of a Range Rover on the drive, whether this is better or not for their uses, you know?
Mm.
But we'll see.
I don't think Lexus are expecting to sell a shit ton.
No, but, probably not.
But yeah, no. But and then while Volvo and Lexus are just sort of calmly having and sipping, like maybe a nice drink in the pub, having a conversation, Alfa Romeo barges into the door, fucking like clad in Adidas. Yeah, just fucking like barges into the conversation, is like, oh yeah, me too, mate. Yeah,
I could do that, but better in every way.
Boss of Alfa Romeo has put on the table the idea of an Alfa Romeo MPV. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. I guess.
I mean, I'm interested to see what they do, but I'm kind of car crash fascinated in this idea.
Yeah.
Because I just can't really imagine a vehicle that would sell worse.
Yeah. Oh, first return this episode of our very good friend, the Auto Car Render.
Yeah, it's nice to see them back.
We're about to get a hell of a lot more in the upcoming slide.
Oh, good luck. Yeah.
So, the reason why, especially this Alfa Romeo one, I think should be taken with a pinch of salt is, if we move on to the next slide, the boss of Alfa Romeo has said that they're going to be doing everything, actually.
Mm.
So, not only are they maybe doing an electric MPV, they're also going to make an electric SUV to rival the BMW iX, and they're also going to make an electric Giulia. And possibly even the return of the Giulietta, which I couldn't find, but I remember reading somewhere.
It doesn't seem completely out of the realms of possibility, just reusing tech from other manufacturers under Stellantis or whatever it is. It's Stellantis now, isn't it?
Yes.
But that seems like a lot of fingers in a very, very many pies. I'm not... Good luck to them.
I think, as discussed previous episode, Alfa Romeo has, like, finally, in its entire history, had actually a pretty damn good financial year.
Yeah, I remember you telling me this. I was very surprised.
And so I think Alfa Romeo have seen that and just gone full steam ahead. Holy shit, we're so fucking back.
Yes! They're, like, cheering. They're like, we're going to do everything. You know, you want a 4C, another 4C? We'll do that, sure. I would actually quite like another 4C mentioning that. But...
They've had a taste of success and decided that they are the shit.
This is how it will be forever.
Yes.
This is not a fluke. This is just Alfa Romeo now. They are making sure of that, or trying to make sure of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, an electric Giulia, sure. There's like that. There's an electric 3 Series, like you've got the BMW i5. And shit like that, and of course the iX. It makes sense that is the market Alfa Romeo would go after. I just always think it's not a great idea to base your brand image or even a single car off this is a blank car rival.
Yeah, the Giulia is always for me I love it. I think it's a great looking car. But it's always been, like, it's never got anywhere close to actually being considered as a rival on the same level. It's always like, if you want an oddball rival, go for the Alfa. But it's never, like, a serious contender, I think, for the majority of people. And I'm not sure having an electric one will change that.
Yeah. I think the success of the Quadrifoglio has gone some way to establishing
that
Alpha as like a more genuine competitor, because people love the Quadrifoglio, and
that is true,
for pretty good reason.
Yeah, but I think I see more Quadrifoglios than the actual base models, to be honest.
Exactly. I see. I've seen way more Quadrifoglios than I have regular Julias.
Yeah, which... and that's. I mean. Good for them. They're selling lots of them, but I'm not sure that that's not how you establish yourself as a regular market contender across the whole thing by only selling performance models.
Yeah, no, it's an odd one.
But oh well, I wish them the best of luck.
And
apart from
yes, so the news here is that Jaguar F-Types and Audi R8s are being made.
It's a sad day.
It's sad, but my little bit of a spicy take, I'm not as sad as I thought I would be.
No, because I feel like it's been, they've had a good run, and you know what, you can't complain as if they've been overlooked or anything. They've both had tons of media attention, being sold probably way more than they expected. You know, you're always going to be able to find used ones, but they also have reached the end of their lifespan as current models, even with a facelift.
Yeah, even arguably the F-Type reached the end of its lifespan as a model a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and I think that the facelift, terrible.
Underneath the F-Type is the old XK, really. That XK was like largely a new car, but still, when did the old old XK debut? Like
99, wasn't it?
No. The original XK was based on the XJS.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, my bad.
And then you had the second XK, which is what the F Type is based on. But mm-hmm. that second XK, when did that debut? Like 2006, 2007,
something like that. Yeah, that was like it's had a long time. They've got their use out of the platform. We can call it there.
Yeah, and I wouldn't like the Audi R8's cool. I'm not gonna deny that. It's kind of cool, but I've never felt strongly for it at all. Just because, it's cool that underneath it basically is a Lamborghini that is sold at a cheaper price and is therefore more accessible to enthusiasts. But, mm-hmm. I don't know, I guess I've thought if Audi were to make a supercar, it should be an Audi supercar and not a rebadged Lamborghini.
And it's just always seemed a bit to me, I mean, I love them, don't get me wrong, but they've always appeared to me to be the safe supercar that they never did anything particularly interesting with the platform because they didn't want to disrupt their like middle manager, successful middle manager customer base. Mm-hmm. You know, it was, I mean, the idea of a supercar that you can reasonably drive to work every single day for, however long the life of the car is appealing. But to me, that isn't a supercar that appeals, well, to me.
Yeah. It's why, like, the version of the R8 that I've always wanted is, like, the original first gen. Firstly, because it looks better.
Yes, it does.
But also, because that version, you could get an Audi engine in. And sure, it was less powerful than the V10. But
yeah,
because it's got an Audi engine in it, it feels more like an Audi.
I mean, I think they look great, they sound great, but they've never been a car that's particularly appealed to me just because they just don't seem... I mean, it's the same reason why, as much as I love an Aventador and I think they look great, I will always prefer a Murcielago because it's just a bit more of a supercar, you know? It's a bit more out there, it's a bit crazier in every way. And if that makes it a worse car, then sure, but I still prefer it.
My absolute favorite thing about the Murcielago that I made reference to in my most recent video is that some of the internal dimensions and specs of the V12 and the Murcielago are still based on the original internal dimensions of the first Lamborghini V12 from 1965.
Trace its lineage all the way back to there through every model apart from, you know, the V8 ones, the Uraco and all that. That is just brilliant. That is, I mean, it is, to me at least, the last proper Lamborghini. I know people throw around proper, but it's the last, I would say, the last Lamborghini that has a very much pure essence of original Lamborghinis.
Yes.
But I might just be talking out my arse, but that's the way that it's always appeared to me.
No, I agree with you. No. It's just, that's what happens when you get bought out by a massive corporate benefactor that integrates you into its empire.
I mean, I do love the history of Lamborghini, especially going through the 90s when they were bought by, what was it, WeatherTech or... You know, the people who owned Vector at the time.
Oh, yeah.
That was, you know, it was a different owners, but still equally as mad. So I can, the Diablo to me, perfect. It's still just as bonkers as all of the Lambos that came before.
Yeah, because
for different reasons.
They were bought out by other people, but like Lamborghini was still largely able to sort of design and do their own thing.
Although you look at some of the concepts that didn't make it during the 90s and it's like, oh, what a shame.
Yeah.
But, oh, well.
But anyway, R8 and F-Type are dead. Jaguar have got to be thinking that they'll replace the F-Type with something.
Yeah, they can't just... They'll be something.
They'll definitely replace it with something. But on the other hand, I don't think there'll be an R8 replacement.
No, I can't. Yeah, there might be some... I think that they will probably just be... Like, to anyone who... To be honest, to anyone who would consider buying an R8 new, an e-tron, whatever you call it, is probably just as appealing.
Yeah,
because
it does what they need. Or a Huracan.
Or a Huracan. If they want to go crazier, go for a Huracan. If they want to just, you know, have a fast Audi that looks, you know, cool to them that they can drive to work every day, then they'll just take an e-tron.
Yeah, I don't think... that it's a coincidence that if you look at the silhouette of an e-tron and the silhouette of an R8, they are actually really quite similar.
Yeah.
Sad day for driver enthusiasts and people want to buy a cheap second-hand fast car.
I shed a small tear, but...
Yeah. Now...
Hello, autocar render.
Hello, autocar again, you fucking bastard.
Why does it have Hot Wheels proportions? The wheels are massive.
I don't know, man. Like...
But this is actually how it will look, you know?
Yes. No, this
definitely.
Is...
Definitely.
This is how it will look. As Elon Musk keeps telling us about everything he's ever done. Mm-hmm. And then it doesn't. But,
no, those panel gaps are too small, actually.
Yeah. No. We're saving that one for later.
Sorry. Sorry. Yeah. Shh. We got to start with, like, little punches and then move up to the big kicks, you know?
Exactly, yeah. So, this is... a render of the Tesla Model 2, which is a hatchback that will apparently be made in Germany and cost somewhere in the region of a hair over $22,000-ish.
Mm-hmm.
So, firstly, Elon Musk and the European Union do not have the best history. It's been a rocky relationship.
They don't see eye to eye, you know?
I'm sorry?
They don't see eye to eye, you know?
No.
Especially at the moment with what's going on in Sweden with unions striking and basically all of the Teslas that are arriving in the country are just being left on the boat, I think, because they refuse to unload them. They refuse to do anything to do with Sweden until they come to an agreement with the unions, which is quite funny, but...
Yeah. No, God bless Sweden and their strong unions. God damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that is funny. I just, given the blatant workers' rights violations that have happened in American factories for Tesla.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the injuries.
for the fact that stuff isn't health and safety labeled because Elon doesn't like the color yellow.
I was about to say that. That's ridiculous.
Sorry, I beat you to it, but
yeah, no, the racism.
Oh yeah, that as well.
Yeah, the apologizing not by fixing any of those issues, but by, in some cases, offering to build on-site roller coasters and, I'm not shitting, a pizza party. I cannot wait for, like, those style of Elon Musk solutions to come toe-to-toe with German and European Union workers' rights regulations.
Yeah, that would be a war I would love to see.
That is a powder keg I'm just cannot wait to see. Unless this isn't a Tesla factory. I actually haven't been able to find. Apparently it's going to be built in Germany, but I don't know if it's been like subcontracted to a different company.
It could have been, yeah.
Yeah.
That might be what they're doing. Well, can I just say, somewhat unrelated, I hate the way that Tesla have named their vehicles half with letters and half with numbers.
Yeah.
Am I the only person who's really pissed off by this?
No,
so you have the S, the X, the Y, and then the 3. And I know why he did that, because he wanted to call it E so that the model lineup spelled sexy. Ha ha, he is mentally 7. But so he does 3 because he wasn't allowed to call it E, because I think of the Ford E-series vans, whatever. But now he's doing 2. What? Annoys me a lot. Oh, breathe.
Oh my god, this fucking dude.
He's literally mentally sick. Like,
I actually recently, I was watching a video, and in the video was included like various speeches that he's given, like the presentations when he introduces a new model. I'd seen pictures from the presentation before. I'd never actually watched them. And the guy is just a shit presenter.
Yeah.
Like,
He's quite awkward, isn't he?
He's so awkward. And the amazing thing is, he's been getting more awkward as the years have gone by.
It's because he realizes that people like him less.
that and also, I think he is actually, like, he does actually have brain damage.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
He's
like,
been huffing paint or something in the factory.
No. Like, he has, like, onlookers and people who keep, like, you know, tabs on this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Have noticed that a lot of his recent rash behavior, especially involving X.com, a lot of his behavior involving that, fun fact, symptoms of, I think it was ketamine addiction.
Oh!
Yeah.
He's like half the people from my college then. That was a fun time.
That wouldn't be surprising, because he has in the past espoused his belief that ketamine is a better antidepressant than most actual antidepressants. So, no, the dude is probably just addicted to ketamine.
He's just on ket. Like,
yeah.
The Tesla Model K coming out next year.
Oh, God.
It comes with a little bathroom and a mirror in it. The thing I find about Tesla is it's sad to look at, because they had so much in their hands and it's all just been squandered.
Like, by one fucking
by
guy.
By one bloke. 5 years ago, if you had talked shit about a Tesla, half the people in Britain would have kicked your throat in, because it was the next thing. You know, Tesla was a byword for an electric car. That's such an achievement. You know, you wouldn't... There were no other real electric cars that people bought apart from like Nissan Leafs. You wouldn't say, oh, I have an EV. You'd say, I have a Tesla. But they've just squandered it. He has squandered it by himself. And then you look at the footage of the people who are still so delusionally defending him with their self-drive stuff, almost being killed by their cars. And they're like, oh, I think it's having a bad day today.
I saw that video today. Actually, I rewatched that video where it literally tries to turn them into parked cars and kill them.
Into parked cars. And it can't navigate a straight line.
And it tries to turn them into parked cars and kill them, and then, or tried to kill them.
Yeah.
And then appeared that it tried to kill them for legal reasons. The car is not programmed to kill people. as far as we understand.
From the best of our knowledge.
Yes. But the fact that it does that, he grabs the steering wheel, turns it back so it doesn't do that, And then keeps talking about how we just need better AI.
Oh, it is like a cult. I'm sorry, but it just is. Like I guess it's sunken cost, you know? If you paid all that money for a car that's worth 40% of what you paid for it a year ago, you're going to have to keep telling yourself that it's still the best thing on, you know, since sliced bread. Otherwise, you're going to go into your like bathroom and start sobbing. But...
Speaking of people who are going to be doing a lot of sobbing, hang on. I just... Oh, baby! I don't know why we didn't talk about this episode one, but the goddamn Cybertruck!
Oh, it's so terrible.
Oh!
It's the Homer. It's just the Homer.
It is. It really is the Homer. Oh, my God.
How'd you make...
$82,000!
How do you make it a vehicle made out of stainless steel look worse, like, completely objectively, than the DeLorean did 30 years ago?
The DeLorean managed this shit!
Oh, my God. The DeLorean had its problems, but the panels mostly fit. And that was built in Northern Ireland. No offense to Northern Ireland, but this is supposed to be like the most advanced thing that can be built in America today, and it looks like that.
This is the peak of what Silicon Valley can offer us.
Yes,
is what we are led to believe.
Oh my God!
And oh my God! Okay, so just to tap back briefly into Elon's clashes with the European Union. Mm-hmm. The EU has already confirmed that the Cybertruck, as it stands, will not be legal to be sold in the EU. No. So that's that entirely written off already.
Thank God.
He advertised it as like a base model price of something like $40,000. It's now looking like it's going to be like over 80. It's smaller than the original prototype that had the metal ball thrown at it and the windows broke. It's smaller than that prototype now.
And the proportions just look so fucked up.
Everything, I mean, like, I haven't mentioned the fact that it's truly gopping, because I thought that was obvious. And finally...
And it can't go off-road.
Yeah, no, I saw a fucking video. I saw a video where it was like driving in one of the hardest off-road tracks in the world, and it was like a normal dirt road in Mexico.
Yeah, it was literally like a small dusty hill, and it struggles. Oh my God!
This fucking thing, and then the panel gaps. Okay, we'll come back to like the panel gaps. Good fucking God!
How?
I don't know how you manage that.
Is this 10 microns, Elon? Is that what you were talking
about? Yeah, the fucking... I wanted to bring up the email. Oh my God. For those who are not aware, when Elon, I think, before a lot of these panel gaps became completely public knowledge, there was an email that was sent out to presumably Elon's engineers, with Elon saying that because the Cybertruck has so many straight lines and straight geometry, panel gaps and bad tolerances will show up like a sore thumb. So we need to make this car to the tolerance of 10 microns. with his excuse being, if Lego and aluminium cans can manage it, then so can we.
Right. Well, apparently you can't.
So, here's the thing. There is one tolerance on aluminium cans that is down to 10 microns, and that is the thickness of aluminium that is used. The joints in the can are actually, like, tolerances way bigger than that.
Oh.
So if you want to make a car on this scale with panel gaps with tolerances of 10 microns, and just to be clear, that doesn't mean the actual gaps are 10 microns thick. That means like the how much either way of the target.
Yeah, the variant.
Is 10 microns. even to get that on a car made of metal this scale, you would literally have to CNC machine it out of a single giant block of steel.
He just doesn't know what he's talking about, does he? I mean, I will just say, I absolutely, sitting on the sidelines, adore all of this going down. It is fucking brilliant. I feel like I woke, like the day that all this started, I feel like I woke up in, you know, the mid-80s or something. Watch, because it feels like a privilege getting to watch such an incredible display of cock-up and such a, like, one of these crazy, you know, things that will have a book written about it. I mean, Ralph Nader could have a field day on this, and I have the privilege of watching it from my sofa with no investment, watching this company crumble by itself and make this truly horrendous product. It's just great. I'm so pleased to see it, because all the people who are being screwed over, who are wanting to buy these and who are going to find out how terrible, are, to the best of my knowledge, from all the ones I've seen, the worst kind of person. So it's like, yeah, oh, I just don't care.
You're either like an ANCAP, like, you know, anarcho-capitalist arsehole, yeah, or you're just stupid.
Yeah.
But it's to the point now. Usually I have sympathy for stupid people, right?
Yes.
It's not always their fault. Sometimes they just haven't had the information.
Sometimes
in front of them.
They were dropped as a child.
Yeah. At this point, with this much information freely available right in front of you,
I don't have
sympathy.
You are choosing to be stupid. And, I mean, I just love the fact that Elon seems to think that, he seems to forget that the internet never forgets, because he publicly puts out these completely stupid things expecting people to not remember them in 6 months. This thing's supposed to float.
I forgot about that.
Do you remember that?
When I forgot about that, too, yeah.
A river? Look at these fucking paddle
amphibious caps. Electric car. This can't go wrong.
This will sink like a stone with all of these gaps. And I mean, also, I just like pointing out the thing that I've just noticed. Look at the two images, the way you could see the wing mirrors. The fact that they're completely different. They have no idea what they're doing with this thing. They are desperately clutching at any straws to actually make a vehicle, but it's going to be terrible, and I love it. I'm so pleased.
Now, this might actually, like, this, the semi, the roadster.
Oh, I forgot about those two. Whatever happened to those?
Yeah, no, it's because, like, so the roadster and the semi were announced at the same event in 2017. Yeah. Haven't heard a peep out of them since.
Hello, it's Editing Bin Man again. Actually, we have heard things from the semi. Turns out it's been used by Lay's and PepsiCo, but they've had terrible experiences with it because it's awful. Who would have fucking guessed, lol.
The Cybertruck has been the main focus of attention. That was announced in 2019. In the announcement speech, he said, "We're making it right now," which of course then turned into, by 2021 had turned into, "We'll get it out for 2022. 2022... turned into, "We'll get it out for 2024.
And it will be December 2023 by the time that you watch this, and nobody has taken delivery of one.
Has Tesla accepted deposits for Cybertrucks?
They did, yeah.
Yeah.
When they first announced it, because all of the really, there was one really insufferable guy I went to secondary school with who posted on his story on Instagram, like, the screenshot of, like, the $100 deposit paid for a Cybertruck, like, the initial deposit, which I think is brilliant, the fact that he could literally never get that car, and I bet they don't make it easy to refund that.
Because, like, accepting deposits like this for a car that is provably not ready.
No.
That's how Tucker went down.
Yeah.
Like, that's what Tucker got sued for. Yeah. You know, like, the fantastic, amazing Tucker 48.
Yeah.
You know.
I love the Tucker, and I absolutely adore everything about it, like, the story and all of that. But yeah, this is basically exactly what got Tucker completely gone. But the difference with the Tucker is that the problems that they... I guess it's not much of a difference. Was that they could have put out a decent car, but he just kept looking for more things and it just kept going wrong. I mean, putting a, what was it, a helicopter flat six in it with a single speed transmission that was actually two torque converters instead of a dip. I mean, that is basically the Cybertruck. It's you could have just made a normal electric pickup.
Yeah, eventually, yeah, no, in a way, except, you know, like, we're starting off trying to do these all these wacky advanced things, eventually working your way towards, like, a normal vehicle.
Yeah.
The difference is that Tucker, sure, he was eccentric. He was, you know...
Very
large in life in, like, a decidedly American way.
Yeah.
But at heart, he was a competent engineer.
Yes, and the vehicle was largely, I mean, it had its problems, but it was largely and very advanced, and, you know, once they produced a few, it was a good car. But
yeah, like, once you start getting, like, the later pre-production run models of the, like, you know, the 55 or whatever that exist, or that were built, like, the last ones of those ended up having an engine that worked, a transmission that worked.
Mostly.
Well, no, they eventually, like, that torque converter one, that was initially only designed for, like, the first engine before they got the helicopter flat six.
Okay, yes. And then it was a cord, a preselector transmission at some point.
Yeah, they made a couple of cars where they literally went to junkyards and ripped cord transmissions out of...
Yes, I remember reading this.
But then, like, that was to test it. They then looked at the design of the transmission, made their own improvements, and started making them themselves. Hence, you get the Tuckermatic in the later cars.
Yeah.
So, like, eventually, the Tucker was making its way to being a real thing.
Yeah.
That would have been a pretty damn good car. The exact same thing has happened with the Cybertruck, with the whittling down of the advanced features, but there's no competency at the helm.
No, there is... nothing, like, speaking completely objectively, this is a terrible vehicle. There is no way around it. And I think that it's honestly, in some ways, a crime that it will ever be road legal, because look at that thing. If that hits someone in a mid-2000s Toyota, they are dead. Like, you do understand this, like, that people don't seem to get the fact that like, vehicles crumple for a reason. You do not want your car to not crumple. That is how you die.
To be built out of this super, super strong, cold rolled steel or whatever it's like, yeah.
Yeah, because that is how you end up, you dying of the forces, and whoever you hit also dying because their vehicle has been bent into a banana shape. Oh, and then, of course, it has to be extremely fast because it's an electric vehicle, which makes it even worse.
Yeah, no, it's just... so beautifully ridiculous.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Jesus Christ.
Moving on.
Yes.
Moving on.
So, the Porsche Panamera's got a facelift. I usually wouldn't consider something like this worth talking about.
Yeah.
But the main thing that interests me about this is that it's got a facelift... where they've taken out the Sport Turismo. We don't have the estate anymore.
Yeah.
So Porsche haven't considered that worth not even talking about. They haven't considered that worth keeping.
Yeah.
What they have considered, the primary thing, the most important thing you need to know about the facelifted Porsche Panamera.
Oh, I'm interested.
Is that its interior is TikTok ready.
Can I ask just one question? What the fuck does that mean?
Yeah, does that just mean, like, it comes with TikTok pre-installed as an app on, like, but Apple CarPlay or
you
something?
Should not be able to fucking use TikTok while driving.
I mean, that as well. Like, oh, I'm driving in my fancy Porsche. This is a perfect time for me to make something for the timeline.
Does it mean that, like, every time you put your, like, indicator on it, that, like, robo-woman voice comes on and says, your blinker is on?
Oh, no. No!
Does it play Subway Surfers gameplay to make sure you, you know, stay interested while you're driving? like, I don't think there is a single positive connotation.
No. Like, that... Yeah, no, I agree. There's not a single positive commentation, but I just, like, you bringing up Subway Surfers, just imagined, like, me getting into my Porsche Panamera and Family Guy funny moments number 17 starts playing.
me crashing off a bridge because I was so distraught that Brian Griffin died.
Yeah. Oh, me running over a dog after I was so distraught that I...
I just, there is just nothing positive that could be associated with calling your vehicle TikTok fucking, what was it, TikTok ready or TikTok
ready?
TikTok ready, Jesus wet.
Wow. Oh my god, like, what? This is where we're at. This is what the car industry is now.
This is Porsche. This is fucking Porsche.
Like
the proverbial money gods printer of all things automotive.
The fucking money printer.
It's like when like politicians' kids get them to like do videos with them where they're like talking about complete shit they don't understand, or like those like I hate him, but those Nigel Farage TikToks when he's talking about like bad news in Pogland or whatever. It's what are you talking about?
Okay, no. To be like, fuck Farage, but those were cameos that he got paid to do. Nigel Farage cameos were because like it was nice to see Nigel Farage reduced to that level. Again, like just to reiterate the point, this is Porsche. Yeah. This is the money printer. This is the big guy. This is like the shit.
Yep.
Porsche, they make the money. They're the big baller. They are like the fucking kingpin of the car industry, and they are branding their car as being TikTok ready. This is where we're at.
Rejoice. Also, the facelift is ugly.
It looks worse now.
A GR86. I like the GR86, but why would you make your Porsche look like a GR86? Yeah.
Yeah, no.
So, bad.
Yeah, fuck.
TikTok fucking ready. I'm very curious to find out what that actually means, though.
Like, yeah, no, because I genuinely think it just means that it will have TikTok as a pre-installed app on the touchscreen.
Those screens are massive. It's just going to be the most obnoxious thing I've ever seen. Oh.
Moving on.
Yes.
So, what was it? The Tokyo Mobility Show, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
Happened a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And surprise, surprise, it was filled with sports cars. And so auto journalists the world over...
Does this mean that all the sports cars are back?
Yet simultaneously opened all their windows and screamed to the street like they were fucking Ebenezer Scrooge after he woke up on Christmas Day that... Sports cars aren't dead! The sports car is back!
They're all back and they're all exactly how you want them!
Everything is good! Rejoice! Rejoice!
Oh, God.
So, of course, none of these are going to get made.
Except the Prelude, maybe.
The only one that has been confirmed as they're definitely working on it and it actually probably will happen is the Honda Prelude in the top left.
Which... I mean, I think it looks all right, but I just think it's going to be a generally rather underwhelming vehicle.
Yeah, it's going to be, like, I don't have big hopes for Honda after the Acura Integra debuted.
I love the Type R. I think it looks absolutely amazing, but only the Type R. The rest of them are disappointing.
Like, the rest of them is, like, you know, you're paying $10,000 extra over an Accord. Mm. To get most of the same shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I will say that I am internally weeping at the fact that we're not getting another Copen. That is just the worst news.
No.
It's going to be anticipation, because we're never going to... You know, they never really come out and say actively, we're not making anything like this, get fucked. So I'm going to spend the next however many years praying that they make another Copen, and they never will.
Yeah, no, the Copen is a disappointment. While I was being sort of a little pessimistic about all of them,
mm-hmm.
Toyota have been, I think this is the FT, the orange one in the middle left, it's like the FT dash something.
Yeah.
There have been leaks about that one for a little while. So, well,
Maybe. It does look really good.
Yes.
And I mean, I guess they do have somewhat a track record of putting their desired FTs into production eventually.
Yeah.
With a lot of asterisks, talking about how once they're watered down and they don't look as good. Yeah. But maybe one day that would be very nice.
Yeah. Mazda have also had some things for a little while. And recently they did... I think they've either filed a patent for something, or they might even have been an actual like mini press release they did, where they said they are like they have so obviously the MX-30, the SUV with the rotary range. They have actively said that the rotary they designed for that they did purposefully design to be modular.
Yes, I do remember reading that, actually.
And so there is rumours that there will be, like, a sports car hybrid that does have a two-rotor that, via, like, hybrid stuff, is connected to the rear wheels.
Yeah, but I don't have much hope, because, I mean...
Because Mazda and
rotary engines have such an interesting relationship, the way that Mazda loves the rotary and the rotary doesn't love Mazda.
Yeah, no.
But maybe...
Maybe. We'll see. Again, it would be nice, but we'll see.
Yeah.
That Nissan is definitely not getting made, and I'm glad it's not.
It's not a looker, is it?
What's that style of like of Japanese car modification where they put like the ridiculously
Bosozoku.
Yeah, Bosozoku, that's right, yeah.
I do love Bosozoku, but
like they've tried to make a Bosozoku car from factory.
The whole thing that I love about Bosozoku is the fact that it's like the expression of the individual making it. If you make a car like that, that's not how that works. You know, you can't do that. A corporation doesn't have the individuality to make a Bosozoku car.
Yeah, and also Bosozoku, it kind of has to be based on a car that wouldn't really be that sporty.
Yes, it's true,
like,
as well.
It's sort of like, there's like an ironic sense.
Exactly, sense, yeah. It's like, I know that I've, like, they're standing there like proudly, I know I've ruined my car, and that's the statement that I'm making. Mm. And it would just never be able to be translated into anything production that could possibly work.
No. And then
is
we have
a
this,
Subaru?
This Subaru thing. I don't really know what's going on with it. I thought the BRZ is still a thing, right?
Yeah.
Like it's still I don't know.
Over here, but in America and whatever. Yeah.
So
what are you doing?
I don't know. Are they like out, I guys. Think they're trying to do like a rally thing with it. It kind of looks like it's got like a bit of off-road flavor to it, but
I mean, it looks like a Vision Gran Turismo car.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that as a compliment.
Yeah.
It looks like one of those really forgettable Vision Gran Turismo cars, because it's just, there's just nothing about that that is pleasing to the eye, I don't think.
No.
It even has the terrible WRX cladding thing going on around the wheel arches. Ugh.
Anyway, so yeah, it's Jesus isn't coming back, actually.
In conclusion,
you should be sad.
Yes. And moving on.
This happened almost exactly a month ago, but it's still pretty interesting to talk about, I think. So Tim Oldland didn't have a great experience with the interior of a new Honda.
It's the one with the terrible name. It's got a colon in the name. I can't remember. It's called the Honda like colon or something. N-E-1. It's called the
I'm sad you got there in time, because I was going to make like a colon as in poo-poo joke.
I mean, you have seen it, so Yeah, that's just a terrible name for a vehicle. But yes, if you don't know already, he's a kind of motoring journalist. He had a Twitter thread about how much he disliked, for perfectly valid reasons, the in-car entertainment, mostly the in-car entertainment in the new Honda E colon prostate anyone. And there was a few other things that he complained about as well. And Honda just took the car away. Honda PR just said, you spoke negatively about this vehicle that we gave you to report as, you know, factually, so we're going to take it back. Which, if that's not
indicative of where the industry is heading.
Yeah, it's really pathetic and just a terrible sign in general. Yeah, you know, you report, you know, you would hopefully be able to trust automotive journalists to report factually, but now that they're aware of the fact that if you report factually about negative aspects about a new Honda, that you get it taken away, and that probably means you won't have access to any future ones, what are they supposed to do? They still have to put food on the table and make reviews. It's just a really terrible precedent to set. And not specific car news. I mean, I don't care about the car itself, but it's just really disappointing. And from Honda as well. I would have thought better of them.
No, I won't lie. I've absolutely cooled off on Honda over like the past couple of years. Especially like the NSX, the new NSX was cool.
I love that.
But they haven't really done anything that cool besides that, besides the Civic Type R.
No, it's
you know, like that they just keep bringing out. There's just been a series of misses.
Yeah,
I'm not surprised.
I think in general, this is a bit of a generalization, but I think in general, the Japanese brands are struggling with the move to electric vehicles.
I think part of it is because electric vehicles aren't that popular in Japan.
No, I think also part of it is probably because when they need a vehicle for a very small vehicle that doesn't pollute much and all that for cities and everything, they've been doing K cars for 50 years now. Mm. So that's always been their solution, has been a tiny engine. But an electric thing is now completely new. And I think it's a bit of a... it's just, you know, not uncharted territory for them, and not something that they ever wanted. I mean, I don't, you know, with Toyota and all of their hydrogen, I don't think they really wanted to face the music when it came to electric cars. That the fact that this is something they're going to have to make, but I think they are now, and unfortunate.
Yeah, no, but it does set a very unhealthy precedent. That this has happened in games journalism for ages. You know, if you review a game badly, then they just don't give you early
more
press
review
access.
Codes.
They just stop giving you review codes for future games.
But knowing who to trust with a car is a lot more, you know, a lot more important than with a game. You know,
and
obviously you weren't equating them to be the same, but it's, you know, with games journalism, it sucks, but you know, you buy a game, it's 60 quid and it's bad and you refund it. But if you go out and buy a car based on false reviews, then you're locked into that for however many years. It's a really, really shit situation.
Yeah, no, like this, I wasn't equating them to be the same. But like, it's just indicative of, I hate to get all radical lefty here, but...
You've kept it in the whole time. We've managed to astray from
It doesn't surprise me that like these big massive corporations have like it's in their interest to like, you know,
no corporation is your friend. Unfortunately, even the ones that produce your favorite car will stoop to levels. It seems, at least.
No, not good. In funnier news. There was a recent Toyota Hilux advert in which it drove through a river that I don't think this is the actual... it drove through a river, and because of that, for showing little to zero concern for the environment, that advert was banned.
I bet it was EU legislators. It was the EU who had a problem with it. It's just quite... funny. It is almost because
no one tell them that a fjord is. Do not tell them what a fjord is.
No one tell them. Most 90% of the Hiluxes won't actually be used off-road.
That as well.
I mean, I think with pickup trucks it's more likely than SUVs and stuff, but every company who has a slightly lifted vehicle has adverts of it fording every stream and going up Mount Everest. None of them ever really do it. It's about 2%. But they have to keep up the precedent that their vehicles can go off-road and go everywhere so that Marge 55 can feel confident in driving in a bit of drizzle. But it's just really funny that now they just can't. Well, I mean, how do you advertise a Hilux? Because it's fundamentally, for the use case of what it will be used for 90% of the time, a pretty crap vehicle.
I guess you advertise it as a work vehicle.
Yeah. That's always been the Hilux's thing, you know? I mean, the Invincible was a trim for a reason, because, I mean, again, partly because of Top Gear, but it's been very much ingrained in people's psyche, I think, that the Hilux is the tough pickup truck, will go anywhere. And apparently it can't now. Wait, we should, you know what we should have done to get more views in this segment? We should have approached it with the mindset that the woke EU are cancelling freedom.
You're right.
We're free to go into.
We're not allowed to drive off road anymore.
This is literally 1984.
This is wokeism gone
George
mad.
George Orwell, my favourite Star Wars character, did write about this.
This is just like all of the no. This is like there was one of them about an orange. It's absolutely like that as well.
Oh god!
When the EU started the clockwork orange, they started turning the clockwork orange. It all began with the Hilux advert.
First they came for the Hilux.
And I said nothing.
Because I did not own a Hilux. Oh, God. You have to find some reason to laugh.
Okay.
In current
anyway.
Year.
There's a little part of this podcast we like to call The Reds Are Coming.
I'm hearing it so bit compressed.
So the Chinese cars that are going to completely dominate the West and we're all going to be driving a Chinese car next year.
Yep.
This time, we have a double parser.
Mm-hmm.
Two for the price of one. Leap Motor. Bottom right have announced that they are specifically targeting Europe, I think, because they're trying to open a factory somewhere in Europe or something. Sure. And
good luck to them.
Yeah. And top left is Xiaomi. If you don't know who Xiaomi are, they I guess like the thing that most people in the West would probably know them for is phones.
Yeah.
But they're one of those like massive
finger in every pie
Chinese corporations
like Samsung are, like, in Korea, like they make some of everything,
or like Yamaha,
yeah,
you know,
or Daewoo,
like behind this, like, we primarily in the West know them for phones. Mm-hmm. In China they do everything,
yeah, basically that's what they caught on with over here mostly.
Yes. But, and they have now expanded into trying to make cars, which doesn't surprise me.
No, I guess
because having done research before into the whole what happened with NEVs situation, Xiaomi were a potential buyer for China Evergrande's car division, including NEVs.
Interesting.
But the deal didn't go through.
No.
So for the past couple of years, Xiaomi has been looking to expand into the car market.
I guess they were kind of looking, if they could have bought like NEVs or whatever, that would have given them a head start, but now they're kind of doing it themselves, I guess.
Yeah. And then Yeah, no, I guess there isn't really much to say.
Although,
like,
there was one other piece of Chinese vehicle news that I found out recently that made me quite sad, is that Aura are renaming the Funky Cat.
Oh, no!
It will no longer be called the Funky Cat. And again, the woke left comes for the Funky Cat. I'm so sad, because I think it's quite a cute-looking vehicle, but that name, I just think is
that
perfect.
That name is so
stupid. So good, and I really despise it, because they want to, they're calling it, like, they're renaming themselves to, like, Great Wall Aura, and then it'll be called, like, The One or something, just so
all
miserable.
Because they're all of them, all these, like, I hate corporate minimalism.
Yeah.
I fucking hate corporate minimalism. Fuck's sake. Jesus
me
Christ.
And, me and my homies all hate corporate minimalism. Oh, yeah. So there goes a little bit of fun in a very miserable world. Oh.
Yeah. Although, if and when we do finally get starting whatever these Leap Motors are in Europe, I know no one will actually buy one in color, but if I see
it
one in, like, a mint green.
I do like it, yeah. I like anything in an interesting colour now.
Exactly, just because everything's black and silver.
Yeah. There's no colour. No car comes in a colour. They're all in shades now, unfortunately.
Mm.
Oh, at least anything is better than fucking Nardo Grey. But that's a rant for another day.
Yeah. That's anyway.
Oh, I've just seen the next slide.
The final slide. The yelling at clouds segment.
Yeah, the really
and rightfully
depressing
so
one.
What you are looking at, ladies and gentlemen, is the new Ford.
Don't say it.
Capri.
We laughed. We laughed at the auto car and how they'd been doing renders of the new Capri for years now. Why couldn't they have been true? Look at it. It's hideous. Oh, God. I am so miserable about this.
What? Like, this is a new low.
Yeah.
This is, like...
It has never been more over.
Yeah, no. It's never been more Jova than it is now. Previous levels of over...
Look like a paradise.
Have been blown out of the water.
Oh, my God.
Because what... The fuck?
The Puma was disappointing, but at least the Puma looked somewhat funky, and also the Puma was always a niche vehicle. It's like if Toyota brought back the Paseo as a crossover, we'd be like, oh, that's a bit of a shame, I like that car. And then if they brought back the Celica as a crossover thing, it's on another level.
This is... absolutely atrocious. I'm like vibrating.
Yeah, it's like it's not even the it's an objectively bad vehicle. It looks ugly even with all of this spy camo, but what about this makes it a Capri? It is such a blatant, obvious clutching at any sort of name, like anything that could possibly get them a smidgen of sales. Oh, people like the Capri. That might make two people in the UK buy one that wouldn't have already, because it's called the Capri. So we will bastardize and tear apart the legacy of this vehicle that we made that was so popular for so many years just to sell a few more of this horrible, disgusting crossover.
And like... I had the take last episode that Nissan's fallen off.
Yeah.
I think Nissan was falling off for a while.
Yeah.
The speed, the just absolute record time in which Ford has fallen off
has
been genuinely astounding.
when you're in a falling off competition and your opponent is Ford Motor Company.
Yeah, because what have we got, right? They cancelled the Mondeo. The Mondeo's gone.
Mondeo dead.
In America, the only car in America they sell that isn't an SUV or a crossover is the Mustang. In the UK or Europe, we have the Fiesta, but even the Fiesta is going away soon.
Yeah, the Fiesta's gone. Yeah.
Because the Fiesta has ended production. They're just running out stock.
Yeah, same with the Audi TT now, actually, very depressingly.
Yeah, no, I mean... Yeah,
unrelated, but sorry.
Yeah, unrelated, yeah. But which means that the only... I think the only car that they'll sell in Europe, besides the Mustang, is the Focus.
Yes.
And so they've just announced, look, over the past couple of years, they've done this slew of SUVs, these slew of crossovers that all fucking suck.
They're
all terrible. And they're not even putting big bucks into their electrification effort, because the only electric car they've really done is, again, another heinous thing, the Mustang Mach-E, which is awful. Like,
The Mustang, the Mach-E is a truly horrendous, and even that's a bastardization of an already existing name.
Yeah. But that's the only electric car that they've really made. All the other electric SUVs that they're announcing right now are based on VW's electric platform.
Yeah, I remember reading that.
So Ford are just doing nothing.
It's a loop back to the beginning. We're talking about Ford and VW combinations again.
Oh, it's happening. Oh, yeah, no.
I didn't plan this. I planned this.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, actually, yeah, no, the electric SUV Capri that's based on a VW is actually a reference. We're bringing back the VW Apollo. We're bringing it back. It's actually a really deep reference that you guys just aren't getting.
And if you peel back the skin, it's a Renault 12.
Everything is... It's like the Is It Cake meme. Yeah, everything's a Renault 12. you know the Porsche Panamera facelift? That's actually just to disguise the fact that they've brought back the Renault 12.
Oh, shit! Oh, that's incredible. Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, but they still had to make the Renault 12 TikTok ready, but, you know, like...
The Renault 12 TikTok ready. Oh, God. Oh, it's nice to have distractions from the misery that is this vehicle. Oh, I hate it so much.
Like, yeah, no, I genuinely think this is a new low.
It is.
For me.
It is.
Like...
This is Ford's... They shot themselves in the foot once, and then went for a reload, aimed it at their other foot, and went, what does this trigger thing do? I can't quite remember. I just don't get it. I don't get it.
No. They're taking the scientific approach. You need to do it. You need to do the experiment at least three times before you can come to a decisive conclusion.
Right, well, what's our bets on what the next one will be?
Oh, yeah, no, that's a good point. Okay, so we've already, like, tarnished the Capri.
Yeah. What other iconic Fords are there that went out well?
Yeah, but they're never going to bring back the Cortina name.
No, true.
They're never going to do that.
I don't know.
And we already have the Mustang Mach-E. Yeah, no, it's a tough one, actually, now that I think about it. Because the Puma wasn't really a shooting yourself in the foot, because the old Puma was cool. The old Puma was cool.
Yeah.
But it's not like classic.
No, yeah. The best thing about the Puma was the racing Puma, and even then they only made a few hundred of those. A couple thousand or whatever.
I don't know, maybe they'll bring back like the XR name on something.
Oh my god.
You know, like stupid. That's the best thing I can think of.
Yeah, it's just so depressing, really. And it's so indicative. I mean, we called this, basically. We called this in our last... this whole segment is basically predicting, like, the exact same reasons as to why whatever the next manufacturer that ruins a popular name will do it for.
Yeah.
Like, we know the reasoning behind this. We're just watching as the dominoes fall, as every manufacturer decides, oh, we can do this.
Yeah.
I'm thoroughly depressed now.
Yeah, so that's a podcast.
That's the end.
Yeah, sorry we're ending it on a bit of a sour note. Everything sucks. Nothing's good.
Can we just pull up the picture of the Cybertruck and its panel gaps again? That'll get me laughing.
Yeah, no, okay, just to cheer us up. Just to cheer us up. Here's a panel. Yeah.
This thing floats. Somebody's going to drive this into a river.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no. Someone's like, oh, my God.
Someone's going to try and prove somebody on Twitter wrong by driving this thing into a river and just going to drown.
I think it's going to be sadder than that. I think someone who is just like, who just like really likes Elon Musk. He said, oh, he said it can float. And like, he hasn't said it since, but he hasn't said it won't.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do it.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I think it's going to be sad. But yeah.
That was a podcast.
Bye-bye.
Bye.